let's get into the Word of God. And so, my friends, title of this evening's message, Don't Waste It. Don't Waste It, speaking about not wasting bread, growing up with Brother Simonson back in his days, but Don't Waste It. And may this kind of touch our hearts to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. Now, we're going to be looking at the account of Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus. And we're quite, trust, we're familiar with this account, healing the blind man. It's in three of the gospel accounts. Of course, the main teaching from this story is the necessity of faith to see, literally, right, God's miracles in our life. Amen. And so, but as we look through the passage, we're going to look at the account in Luke, in the Gospel of Jesus, according to Luke, the book of Luke. As we look through that account, how it all played out, there are actually some, I trust, some additional other wonderful, maybe less obvious principles that we can maybe glean from this account that I trust would be a benefit to us. And so let's go to Luke chapter 18. We'll start there. Luke 18, again, this is the account of the healing of blind Bartimaeus by the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the overarching theme, of course, faith, to see the healing and miracles of God in our life as he did in his. But also some additional reminders around the theme of not wasting it. And so what do I mean by that? Well, let's go to verse 35. We'll start there. Luke 18, and then verse 35, I'll read just the first three verses, and then we'll ask the Lord to bless the message. The Word of God says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Let us pray. Abba, Father. O Lord God, what a blessing to be in thy house even tonight. Thank you, Father, for thy precious, precious word. And Father, I just pray that you would anoint these lips of clay, that I would speak, Father, what you would have me to say, that you would work in our hearts through your precious word. And Holy Spirit of God, have free reign. Help us not to waste it, Lord. What blessings you've given us, things that we have in our life, Lord, and divine appointments. And Father, we just thank you for the testimony of blind Bartimaeus. What a vessel of glory he was for you, and what hardships he endured, but all for the glory of God. We thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And help us, Father, to always be thankful for all that we have, regardless of where we are and how we are. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, the story of blind Bartimaeus. Yes, we get it. You know, he's blind. Okay, verse 35, right off the bat, it says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And that's tough. I mean, even as a child, I would try to sometimes, I don't know, I kind of had a morbid imagination. I would try to imagine what life would be blind. And so I just close my eyes, get a blindfold, and try to get through the day blind. It was fun for the first few minutes. After that, it was kind of agonizing, quite horrific. I can't imagine what it's like to be a blind individual. Scripture tells us here this man was blind. And understandably so, all he really could muster, all he could do was beg for money, beg for, you know, just some bread, maybe some handouts. And then that's pretty much his life, day in and day out. But what hits me is, well, I'm so thankful for his testimony, because look at verse 36. So he starts off in verse 35, he's blind and begging. That's all he can do. But look at verse 36, it says, and what's the next word? Verse 36, second word. And hearing. Now, this is wonderful, because God gave man how many senses? Not counting the sixth sense. What? Five senses, right? And so man has five senses. And so what I'm so thankful for is, yeah, he was blind, and that's horrible, that's tough. But he's not deaf. And he hears the multitude passing by. So there's this crowd, okay, Jesus is coming, there's this celebrity status around Jesus, he's the miracle worker, there's this buzz that's going on, and everyone's excited, and he hears this commotion that normally he doesn't hear it, okay? He's been at this street for years, and today is different. And so he hears it and asks what it meant. And so he opens his mouth, and so he can taste, okay, but he's not mute, he's not dumb. Yes, he's blind, but he can hear, and he's not dumb, he's not mute. And so he asks what's going on, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now, of course, we know the rest of the story. As we get into it, he does something about it. But what really blesses me is, and even later on, we'll see him kind of walk to Jesus. Now, he might stumble. I'm assuming he might have truly stumbled because he can't see, so kind of make his way. But he's not lame of the feet either. He's not crippled. He can walk. He can hear. He can speak. And so point number one, or maybe reminder number one, lesson number one, don't waste the abilities that God has given us. I get it, he's blind, okay? But he can still hear, and he used his ears. He can still speak, and he used his mouth. He can still walk, and he used his legs, okay? And what I'm saying is I'm so thankful in his testimony that he was not discouraged. I can see myself if being blind, I kind of just give up. Even though I have all my other faculties, okay? Even though I might be healthy, else in any other regard, I could just give up and be discouraged and just beg anyway. And then maybe someone now, he takes the initiative here to say, hey, what's going on? What's all this commotion? Someone tells him Jesus is coming. But maybe I can find myself here, dejected, kind of just, you know, thrown in a towel on life. And then maybe my best friend, in fact, if you read the other accounts, there's more than just one beggar. There's two of them. Okay, now he's only mentioned here, just Bartimaeus, because he's kind of the main guy. Okay, but there's two of them. But, and so maybe my blind buddy nudges me and says, hey, it's Jesus. But I can see myself, even though I can hear him with my ears, I can see myself being discouraged and not bothering, not caring, just beg anyway, just continue as I've always been. Don't waste or squander the abilities that the other abilities that God has given us. Everyone has talents. Don't let the one thing he doesn't have, his blindness, overshadow and turn off everything else that he still has that's functioning. We don't know the rest of his estate, but he could be a very healthy person, just blind, so he can't get by. Perhaps I might not be the most formally educated person in the room. Well, Jesus used fishermen to be fishers of men. Amen? Maybe I'm not the most obedient guy there is out there. There are better Christians than me. Well, God used even rebellious Jonah to preach his word. Maybe I'm not the most popular guy in the room. Well, God called a publican, Jesus called a publican named Matthew, Levi, right, to be his apostle. Maybe I'm not the military type. I don't have that leadership quality that kind of just wows. Well, God called the lowly shepherd to be the king of Israel. All I'm saying is, use what God has given us. Don't let what we don't have, be it Bartimaeus' blindness or whatever deficiency we perceive we might have, don't let what we don't have overshadow what God has indeed given us. So that's number one. Now, let's keep going. Verse 38. So what happens? He hears Jesus is coming by. Oh, this is awesome, by the way. Look at verse 37. So they tell him, who's coming by? Jesus of Nazareth, right? And that's his town that he grew up in. So everyone knows him by Jesus of Nazareth. Just I would be wing of Warsaw. You know, that's where we live now. The idea is, so it's Jesus of Nazareth. It's not a prophetic name, not a prophetic title. It's just who his ID would say, right? But notice how Bartimaeus cries out in verse 38. And he cried saying, Jesus, thou son of David. He doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth, says Jesus, thou son of David. So he knows that this Jesus that he's heard rumors about as a miracle worker, he knows and he believes in his heart that this is the Jesus of the son of David, the Messiah that fulfills the prophecy, the Lord. He believes he's the Lord. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, look at this, verse 39. And they which went before rebuked him. And so they say, hey, pipe down. No one wants to hear from a blind man or whatever. Okay, they want to put him in his place. That he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And of course, being blind, maybe he's just crying out in general. Okay, so hopefully Jesus would hear him. Okay, because he can't quite see where Jesus is. He just hears he's there. So he's kind of shouting. The idea is lesson number two, don't waste our opportunities, okay? Don't waste our opportunities. Jesus was passing by. I'm sure he's heard of the rumors before how Jesus can heal other people with infirmities. And Bartimaeus knows that he might not get another chance, okay? What's the chances Jesus would pass by? Again, who knows when his next encounter with the Lord will be? And so whenever God gives us an open door, walk through it. whenever God gives us a divine appointment, take it. Right? Remember what Mordecai said to Esther, right? We know from Esther 4. He says, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this, right? As such a time as this. And by the way, Mordecai didn't just say to Esther, at such a time as this, meaning as a time stamp at this moment. But if you look at the word of God, Esther 4:14, he says, for such a time as this. Indicating the purpose, the whole reason, not just a particular time stamp just so happens to be. Okay, the reason why she might be where she is for this reason. All that has happened in Esther's life leading to this moment where she can intercede on behalf of her people. It's for this moment, not just at this moment. It's for this moment. And so Bartimaeus is thinking, well, this is it. Jesus is here. This is an opportunity that God has perhaps, he doesn't know, maybe, maybe not. But if it is, I sure don't want to waste it. So he's crying out, and people might say, hey, pipe down, don't bother the master. And the world, the people, maybe even our own flesh might go against us and tell us, hey, don't do that. Don't let anyone deter you from seeking the Lord. When there's divine opportunities that God has given you, take it. Take it. God is sovereign, amen? Right? God is sovereign. So you trust his person, you trust his character, you trust his timing, you trust his person, his purpose. But we have to apply it when God's will matches up with God's timing. That's when I need to receive it in faith and act on obedience, right? Got to do it. And don't let anyone talk us out of it. Number two, don't waste our opportunities. Now, the blessing is Jesus actually responds. That's wonderful. So look at verse 40. And so he cries out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then Jesus, look at verse 40, and Jesus stood. And the idea, not that he was sitting, but stood still. So he was walking, the crowds following him. And I like to believe that when Jesus heard Bartimaeus cry out, thou son of David, and maybe the rest of the crowd was crying, Jesus of Nazareth, I need some help over here. Jesus of Nazareth, I need to be healed over here. Jesus of Nazareth, I need this. Jesus of Nazareth, I need that. And Jesus kept walking. But then when he heard, Jesus, thou son of David, maybe he stood still. Like, oh, what did I hear? This cry, he gets it. He has faith. Okay, and so he stood and commanded him to be brought onto him. Wonderful. And when he was come near, and so Bartimaeus, you know, he comes by, he gets, literally, he's walking by faith, not by sight, because he is still blind, okay? So he makes his way, stumbles and all, makes his way to the Lord, okay? And it says, and when he was come near, he asked him, saying, verse 41, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Now, this is a very powerful question, and Jesus is, maybe to us at face value, asking something that is completely obvious. You know, it's pretty obvious sometimes less obvious, because many times when we come to God in prayer, we are praying for what I don't really need. In fact, and instead I'm praying for what I want. And this is a very good question that Jesus is asking Bartimaeus, because he wants to make sure that Bartimaeus is going to ask what he needs. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now, this is wonderful. Now, notice Bartimaeus was, this is the first time that Bartimaeus is asking for his sight. He wasn't asking for his sight before. If you look at verse 38 and 39, he's crying out, even though the crowd wants him to stop, he's crying out nonstop for what? For mercy. He's not crying out for healing of his eyes. He's not crying out to have sight. He's just asking in general, have mercy. Bartimaeus doesn't want to assume that God is going to give him mercy. And so he starts with mercy, because we have to, likewise us in our prayer, before I jump the gun and say, God, I want this. God, I need your mercy. Because this is where Bartimaeus, don't miss this. He's starting with mercy. Lord, if you stop and heed me, Lord, I need your mercy. And then once Jesus says, okay, I'll give you mercy. What do you want? Then he says, my sight. Okay, so don't miss this. Lesson number three, don't waste God's mercy. What do I mean by that? Well, Bartimaeus has been a beggar, I'm assuming, his whole life. And every day begging for what? What's he begging for every day? Money. Money or food. That's all he begs for. Can you imagine how, what a waste it would be if he's crying out for Jesus, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And then Jesus stops, calls him, he gets to him, and Jesus says, "What would you like?" And then Bartimaeus says, "Well, could I get 10 bucks? That'd be a real blessing." And now 10 bucks is a blessing, don't get me wrong. But he can get so much more from God. He's going to ask Jesus what no man can give him. He's going to ask Jesus what he has never asked any other man. He might ask money from other people. But what a waste when God gives him mercy and all he wants is, "Hey, can I just get 10 bucks? That would be swell. You know, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want the money. He wants to change life. He wants his sight back, okay, or sight for the first time. And so that's what he wants. And so just food for thought. When we pray, of course, ask for God's mercy. Just a couple of verses to encourage us first. Let's go to Matthew 15. We see this pattern of how Jesus healed many in his earthly ministry. Look at Matthew 15. This is a woman at Canaan, a woman of Canaan. Matthew 15 and then verse 22. And the word of God says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him," very similar to Bartimaeus, "saying, have mercy on me, O Lord." Starts with mercy. "Thou son of David," he's the Lord. And then the specific request, if mercy is going to be granted to begin with. "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." And then the father of a possessed son, same thing. Matthew 17, verse 15. Matthew 17, verse 15. Here the word of God says, the dad says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into fire and off into the water." And so it starts with mercy. And so if it's not God's will, then no point in asking the specific request. I mean, we need, first and foremost, God's mercy. Don't have to turn there, but I just had it written here. But Nehemiah, even back in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 11, notice how Nehemiah prays. He says, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Of course, he wanted to do something about the walls that were burning, okay, and so that's wonderful. But he prayed for mercy, God's mercy and mercy in his life before the king. And so, but once God grants that mercy, don't waste it by asking for something just mundane or something ordinary. Ask for the impossible. Ask for the impossible. Ask what only God can give you. Think of Caleb. "I want that mountain." Think of Peter. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Think of Solomon. Prayed for an understanding heart, which is the godly wisdom. But that's what he prayed for. "So I can govern the people. I can't do it without you." Even Jabez, right? Prayed for God's blessing in spite of his sorrowful circumstances. In fact, Jabez's name literally means to make sorrowful. Okay. In fact, it says his mom literally called him a pain. I mean, literally, because he brought sorrow to maybe a tough labor. I don't know. She didn't care for him. But she called him Jabez. I mean, that's tough. But he prayed for what even his mom and dad didn't give him, being blessed in that sense. And God gave him. God answered his petition. That's a wonderful thing. Don't waste God's mercy. Amen. Okay, now lesson number four. Let's keep going. Let's go back to Luke. Let's go back to Luke 18. Now, notice this. Verse 43, we'll pick it up here. So Jesus is so gracious. Bartimaeus asking for what he truly needs. Amen. And immediately he received his sight. And woohoo, what a blessing. Where does Bartimaeus go? And who does he follow now that he has his sight? Okay. And followed him, Jesus, glorifying God. So lesson number four, don't waste our answered prayers. Don't waste our answered prayers. What do I mean by this? Wouldn't it be a shame if Bartimaeus finally gets his sight back, or sight for the first time, and the first thing he does is say, "Oh, I can see now. Now where's that bar? We don't want to get drunk and celebrate." No, how sad. Or where's the gambling house? Or where's this? No, now that he can see, he doesn't waste the answer to his prayer. He follows Jesus. I mean, this is huge. Okay, don't overlook this. How many of us pray to God for something, only for God in his mercy give us what we're asking for, but then we use it for ourselves. Or perhaps I'm in a jam and I pray to God for deliverance, and then, you know, God, please save me. And then God is gracious. He saves me, delivers me. That's great. And then I go back to living for myself. Don't do that. Even the best Christian can waste, so to speak, an answered prayer. Don't have to turn to the account. But remember good old King Hezekiah, godly king, wonderful king, but still a sinner like anyone else. Remember when he was sick unto death and he prayed, Lord, please heal me. I don't want to die. And God said, okay, have mercy. How about 15 more years? Wow, that's pretty amazing. Extra 15 years. Life extended. All right, this is great. However, he ended up messing up. The Bible says in Chronicles, his heart was lifted up in pride. Now, he was a goodly, godly king. Don't get me wrong, but even the best of Christians can still sin. And he was puffed up in pride and, in fact, brought judgment upon Judah because of the unwanted alliance with Babylon, right? And he showed off all the jewels, all the treasures of Israel in the treasure room. He showed it and boasted of it to the Babylonian king. That was a sign of the wrongful alliance to come. And then God brought judgment. Now, even then, not in his days, but his sons. Okay, but even then, he brought God's judgment upon Judah. What a waste of an answered prayer. You know, that's when we pray and God is merciful to answer our prayers. Praise God for it, but use it to glorify him. And again, this is Bartimaeus. He followed Jesus. Now that he can see, he could really no excuse. Glorifying God. And then, the second half of verse 43, which leads me to the last point. And all the people, when they saw it, saw what Jesus had done, healed him, and now, you know, Bartimaeus is following Jesus, glorifying the Lord. They gave praise unto God. Wow, wonderful. So number five, don't waste our hardships. Don't waste our hardships, you know, and yes, it's nice that all the people were glorifying God, but they were doing it because Jesus had healed Bartimaeus. But the only way that Jesus would have healed Bartimaeus is if he was blind to begin with, since birth. That's a lot of tough years. Imagine suffering all those years for a moment of glory to God right here. Just like Lazarus, right? Let's turn to John chapter 4. We notice John 11, verse 4. Same kind of a context. People were glorified. Jesus was glorified. People were glorifying God at the resurrection of Lazarus. That's wonderful. But for Lazarus to be risen, it means he had to what? He had to suffer and die. You know, so that's tough. But don't waste our hardships. Our hardships are given to us, yes, to strengthen us, to purify our faith, but also to bring glory to God. Don't waste it. And so John chapter 11, especially, by the way, I don't know, if I waste my hardship and end up not glorying God, but just murmuring to God, maybe God would say, well, Wing, you didn't get it that time. Here's another hardship till you end up glorying me. So it's best for me to get it right away, right? Glorify God right away with a hardship. So John 11, and then go to verse 4. It says, when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death. So the purpose of why Lazarus was sick was not that he would die, even though he did, but it's because he'd be risen, right? But for the glory of God. It's for God's glory. That's why Lazarus had to be sick and suffer, that the Son of God, Jesus, might be glorified thereby. Jesus gets glorified. God the Father gets glorified. They both get glorified. Everyone gets to see who Jesus is. It's wonderful. But Lazarus had to suffer first, and in fact had to die. And that was gut-wrenching for his two sisters, for him too. I mean, he was in pain. That's tough. But don't waste our hardships. They have to draw us closer to God and to bring glory to God. Don't waste our answered prayers. Don't waste God's mercy. Don't waste God's mercy. Kind of goes hand in hand. We don't waste our prayers. And so when we pray to the God of the universe, even tonight, what am I going to ask God? Am I going to ask him for something that I want? As the Lord says, imagine if God, if we have his ear, we do. But imagine God says, okay, you have my attention, son. Just like Jesus to Bartimaeus. And then God says, now, what would you like? And I go, ooh, wow. Since I have your attention, let me really think about this. You know, maybe I really want, and all of a sudden, instead of wanting a new car, I want my best friend to be saved. And now all of a sudden, instead of wanting something just for self-gain, I want something to glorify God. And so when we pray, don't waste our prayer. Don't waste God's mercy. Don't waste our opportunities, you know, those divine appointments. When God brings it into our life in our day, take it, seize it. We don't know when it will happen again. Don't waste the abilities that God has given us just because I don't have fill in the blank. Don't let that deficiency take the spotlight and overshadow all the other blessings, all the other senses that I do have that God has blessed me with. Praise God. Use it for God's glory. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father. I want to remind the Lord, just quickly from Bartimaeus, just a blind beggar receiving sight, but a lot of takeaways, Lord, from that. Help us, Lord, to not waste, but to truly treasure what we do have from you. It's there. And Father, we just need to be thankful for it. We just need to look to you in obedience and faith. And we thank you, Father, for your word. And Father, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Help us to not waste our life living for self. Let us redeem the time. Let us not waste time. And the list can go on, Lord. Help us to always make good of what you've given us for your glory. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, friends. We just